I served of Kathirun. I wrote this up for you if you want to write it up. These are Ahkam al-Taklifiyya al-Khamsa. Ahkam al-Taklifiyya, which is basically the five rulings in Islam. So if there's something in the deen, it'll have one of these five. It's either, number one, fard, meaning that it's something obligatory, or it's mustahab, which means that it's something encouraged, or it's something that's mubah, something that's permissible, or it's something makruh or haram. When we say fard, basically it's something that Allah wants us to do, and if we don't do it, we're susceptible to punishment. In something that's mustahab, Allah wants us to do it, but if we don't do it, it doesn't mean that we'll be punished for not doing it. In mubah, it's neutral, meaning that there's no reward, no punishment, such as eating an orange. In makruh, it's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, but there's no punishment attached to that action, but there is reward if a person stays away from it. And in haram, it's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to do. If we were to do it, we're susceptible to punishment. And the reason I say susceptible is because Allah may forgive the person. And if a person stays away from it, then they'll be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say that Islam is the middle path, why is it that we think that the middle path is mubah? Because you always see one scholar says it's haram, and the other scholar says that it's encouraged. It's mustahab to do. And so a person, like the people here, is like, look, we are believers of the middle path, so we will take mubah. We will take neutral. If you want to do it, that's fine. If you don't want to do it, hey, there's no problem. Right? And then another issue comes in. One scholar says haram, one scholar says mustahab. And then the person says, look, let's not, you know, differ and so on. Let's take the middle path, mubah. Do whatever you want to do. Just, you know, have fun. And there's this idea that it's always mubah, mubah, mubah. The middle path is not mubah. It's not permissible. The middle path can include any of these five. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says pork is haram, that is the middle path. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have to pray five times a day, that is the middle path. Whether it's fard or haram or anywhere in between, what the Quran and Sunnah point to makes something the middle path. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. This surah, it's known as Surah Al-Kafirun, but it's also known as Surah Al-Tawheed. Surah Al-Tawheed. If I can get like three people to stand up, if you want to stand up. Okay, if you have three people, right? I want you to go sit down. I want you to go sit down. Alright, if this was like, when the three were here, that was shirk, right? I associated partners in this line. When you make everybody sit down, except one person, that's called wahada, is to make one. Okay, you can sit down. Now it becomes an atheist when you make them all go. Wahada is to make one, and this is Surah Al-Tawheed, is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make one. There's no associating partners with Allah azza wa jalla. And so this is a surah of disallegiance to all forms of shirk and all other things that are worshipped instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deal, a little background on the surah, many of you may have heard it before, is that they couldn't come to a conclusion regarding this issue of Islam that the Prophet ﷺ had brought. So they said that, look, we'll make a deal with you. And almost like the media does the same thing. Like, we'll say good things about Islam just as long as you don't mind us bringing in other different opinions and bringing in Steve Emerson and so on. You know, 1 year you worship our Lord, our idols, and the other year we'll worship your Lord. And they'll say, we'll even start with your Lord. Meaning that as soon as you agree, we'll immediately all become Muslim for 1 year. And then the next year, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said, we're not going to worship your idols. He said, fine. In the upcoming year, you don't even have to actually physically come to our gatherings and so on. Just speak highly of the idols. Don't say anything bad about them. 1 year for 1 year. And they actually kept coming. And they said to the Prophet ﷺ, this is mentioned in the Quran, وَقَالُوا اتَّبِعُوا سَبِيلَنَا وَلْنَحْمِلْ خَطَايَاكُمْ. They said, you follow our path and we'll take responsibility for your sins. Meaning they know that they're wrong. You can't have two different ways of worshipping. One of them has to be wrong. And they said, fine, if you think that we're wrong, we'll take responsibility for the sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هُمْ بِحَامِلِينَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. That they're not going to carry any sin of it. And it's not up to them to decide who carries which sin and what not. And actually a lot of Muslims, even they think, and there's difference of opinion about it, but as a general rule they think that if they recite some Qur'an that they can pass on that Qur'an to other people. Right? A playing with the deeds and the reward. They say like, look, I've recited Surah Al-Fatiha, and it now belongs to me, this reward, so I don't want it, I'm going to give it to someone else. And they're passing around good deeds to people. Now, there is authenticity to some of that, but that's based on the ahadith, such as Hajj. The Prophet ﷺ taught us that we can do Hajj for other people. But this is Sharia, and it has to be based on proof, and not just someone saying that I'll give this and I'll give that. And of course, when they do this, they do have the proof, but there's a difference of opinion regarding it. This surah came as an axe dividing the truth from the falsehood. As an axe dividing the truth from the falsehood. And because of this issue that they kept coming back to the Prophet ﷺ with, 1 year for 1 year, they kept repeating it and repeating it. So they wouldn't argue with him, and they'll try to evoke the emotions of the other people saying, look, we're trying to be fair to him. Like, if you really want this, then just come on the stage with us. And we're allowing him to come. Just you speak highly of our Lords and we'll speak highly of your Lord. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word kafir and it comes in from the beginning, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. The origin of the word, like we said, that it's a true language, kafara, has different meanings, and of the root meanings of the word kafir is to be ungrateful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Al-Insan, إِمَّا كَافِرًا وَإِمَّا شَكُورًا. Either a kafir, and it's translated as ungrateful, or shakura, meaning, or thankful. Kafir being the opposite of shakur, meaning thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one of the verses, فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. That it, like someone would say, it disbelieved in the blessings of Allah. But that's not true. They didn't disbelieve in the blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that they denied the blessings and they were ungrateful to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word kafir also has the meaning of to veil, to cover something. And so they'll say, al-laylu kafiran, that the night is a veil because it covers things which in the day will be shown. And because of this, a farmer is called a kafir, because he hides seeds in the soil. So he takes a seed, he puts it in the soil, and for that, he's called kafir, not in a derogatory way, but that's the origin of the word. And it's similar to someone in our society hiding something under the bed or sweeping it under the carpet. When the guests are coming over and there's no time to clean up, the person just sweeps it under the carpet. The dirt is still there, it's just hidden. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people, they take the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't deny it and it's still there, they just cover it up. By claiming and thinking that, look, there are no blessings that are owed, no gratefulness owing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they hide it, and then they live their life in such a way. And for that reason, that's of the roots of the word kafir. This surah, in our society, there's many themes and slogans of people trying to get excited about, you know, their nationalism and their patriotism. I think the sign outside said, you're entering the patriot zone. Is there a sports team here called the Patriots? There is? Okay. You're entering the page, and there's all these statements, even like I said, even in this building, that they're calling to this. In Canada, in Winnipeg, they had, the Winnipeg people are going to wreck me for this. They had a big advertising, marketing, like over the whole city, because people were leaving Winnipeg to go live in Toronto and Vancouver and so on. And so they had this theme called 100 Reasons to Love Winnipeg. Right? And they started counting them out, and everywhere you would go, it said reason 21 to 31, and you would see all the reasons. And sometimes in Canada they'll have, because, and if you go to Canada, I think you'll see patriotism for Canada a lot stronger than the Americans. You know? In Canada, they had this, a commercial about I am Canadian, and it had a guy coming. Did anybody see that commercial? I'm Canadian. No one saw the commercial? You saw it? Okay, for those who didn't see it, alhamdulillah that you didn't see it. And I just saw it like when I was in Canada there. But those kind of things, the whole country is so proud of that commercial. And when I went to Canada, there's not a single human in Canada that hasn't seen that commercial. It's become the slogan of the entire country. It's actually a beer commercial. And there was another commercial actually in Canada about how proud we are of this country, and had a little girl singing, I'm proud of my country, and so on. And they said that this should become the national anthem of Canada. Right? Anyhow, what makes a Muslim proud? Because, and actually I get like sad when I see it's Salat time coming and Muslims are looking for a closet to pray in. Right? You're in a change room or something like that in a shopping mall, and someone's shy. As if they have something to hide from the people. And actually, after I got my parking ticket yesterday, and then I thought I was going to like go home and change. I didn't want to, you know, make people look at me and so on. But after I got my parking ticket, I said, forget these people. I'm going to leave my thobe on. I'm going to go out and show them that we're Muslims. They want to give us, you know, parking tickets. Forget them. A Muslim has to be proud of their deen. And actually, what you're going to see in the other surahs is that all these people were commanded to do sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not that you specifically, because we're from Egypt or Pakistan, that Allah wants us to do sajda and no one else. Everybody has to do sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fact that you are prostrating to Allah and that kafir who is walking by is not prostrating, that is your honor. That is your honor, and you should be proud of it. And when you see them, you say that this is a human being that was commanded to prostrate to Allah and they're not doing it. And I'm doing it, ya Allah, please accept. And of the places where I felt this honor of the Muslim was in Las Vegas. Not that I went to Las Vegas, it was just passing through. And they have slot machines inside the airport. Like it's a casino in the airport. Everywhere you go, so you're waiting for United Airlines flight or America West, and there's people, old senior citizens, you know, pulling the thing and gambling. And subhanAllah, I felt like I was in a temple of idols when I entered into that airport. And because we had lived in Mecca and so on in that area, this is considered the, like they say, the Mecca of the Kuffar, the Mecca of, you know, the Shayateen basically. Their tourist attraction. And in that airport, I said, if anywhere else there may be some shyness, right here there's no shyness to pray. When you see the Kuff and you understand how false it is, you will not feel shy to stand up and say, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, that I am not worshipping what you are worshipping. When this surah was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ, he went to the kuffar of Mecca, and they were at the Kaaba, and in front of all of them, he stood up, speaking to them, and he said, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. He said, O you kuffar. And this is not, like I said, it's not a kind word. It's not like they like to be called kuffar or kafir. Kafirun. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used their very harsh words. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. And it's going back and forth. I don't worship what you worship. You don't worship what I worship. وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدُ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ. And I'm not going to worship what you worship. And you are not going to worship what I'm worshiping. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ الدِّينِ. That you have your path, you have your deen, and I have my deen, and this is the middle path. That there is no compromise in our beliefs. The middle path of Islam. And they say that after the Prophet ﷺ said this and recited the surah to them, they lost all hope of ever coming forward with this issue of 1 year for 1 year. And they desisted in it. And then they started in different methods of harming the Prophet ﷺ and harming the companions. And these people, these were the arrogant elite of Quraysh. And the Prophet ﷺ used very harsh words. And they're no, like you say, butter me up in here. Because of their arrogance and their tyranny. And this also shows us, and if you recall back when I was speaking about Madani surahs and Mekki surahs, and the difference in the style of the speech, that this is the kind of speech that is meant for tyrants. When someone comes in as a tyrant, they're also treated with harshness and with toughness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ, the companions of the Prophet, that they're tough against the kuffar, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, that they're merciful amongst themselves. Because of the tyranny and the arrogance of the kuffar, the Muslims also tough with them. So long as that is the way that they can best achieve the message coming forward. And like we said, that these were people who would raid other villages and would kill and murder. They were tyrants like this. And so they understood the power of the words. And so when someone is in that situation with people like that, then the words come out powerful also. Verses 2 and 3 and then 4 and 5, it's the message of, we are not worshipping what you worship now. And in 4 and 5, it's, and we'll never worship them. So it's not that we're not worshipping now and then later on you can continue and maybe one day we'll actually compromise on our deen. No, it never happens. It won't happen now and it'll never happen in the future. And when a Muslim recites this, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, all his honor, the believer's honor is in prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when a Muslim says, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, I'm not worshipping what you worship, who are we worshipping? We're worshipping the Lord of the universe, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the honor of a human being. And so a Muslim, when he says this, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, he should raise his head and say this, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُونَ. And you'll see the word عِبَادَةَ come in again. And if you recall back when I said the word عَبْد, it means slaves. And it does not mean servant or so on. It means that I am لَا أَعْبُدُ, I'm not a slave to what you are a slave to. But we are slaves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the عُبُودِيَّة, the slavery, is to Allah Azza wa Jalla. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would often couple this surah, they say surah al-Tawheed, you'll also see surah al-Ikhlas, speaking about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes when he would go out in a journey, he would recite this in his salah. Surah al-Kafirun coupled with surah al-Ikhlas. And sometimes he would pray it in the two rak'ahs of Fajr, surah al-Kafirun and surah al-Ikhlas. And a man had come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him to tell him of a surah that he should recite before he sleeps. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, before you sleep, recite Surah Al-Kafirun. He said, this is your disallegiance from shirk. This is your disallegiance from shirk. So every time he would go to bed, he would recite Surah Al-Kafirun so that if he was to die, he would not die with any association to the mushrikeen. We're talking about this allegiance and so on. We learn a valuable lesson about the American flag. And when they say that we're pledging allegiance to the American flag, the word allegiance in Arabic, wala, is a very, very serious word. And the issue of al-wala wal-bara, like the word tawheed, if you go back maybe 30 years in North America, if you said the word tawheed, many people wouldn't even know what that word meant. Correct? And there are some people that start speaking about aqidah, and then the word tawheed became recognized amongst the people. And if you go to lay Muslims, they may still not know what the word tawheed means. Of these words that is not well known, but is ingrained in our deen, is the term al-wala' wal-bara'. Al-wala' wal-bara' is ingrained and it's part and parcel of our deen. Al-wala' means allegiance and bara' is disallegiance. Al-wala' that we have allegiance to Allah and His Messenger, and disallegiance to anything that goes against Allah and His Messenger. When I say ingrained, from the beginning, like this surah, Surah Al-Kafirun, this is a prime example of al-wala' wal-abbara, of allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. And there are many, many other examples of that. Such as in the story of Ibrahim, when he said to his people, إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. They said that we have no allegiance and we're completely away, بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ, from you people, you idol worshippers, وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, and what you worship in association or instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we've disaligned ourselves with you. And so when a Muslim, when they bring the flag out and they do it, it comes from the religion. It's a religious thing. And so the flag comes out and someone raises their hand, say, I pledge allegiance to the flag. I'm Canadian, so we don't do that. I'm not talking about you guys. They say, I pledge allegiance to the flag. What is the flag? What does it stand for? If you go to communist countries, they have similar things. And they're actually more profound in showing that they're worshipping their king or their Hitlers or whoever they're worshipping. And actually, if you remember in the court case where the judge, he banned, I guess, the Pledge of Allegiance, correct? He was actually correct for doing that. And it is an action of worship. You know, when he said that the people in the public school should not be doing this, and everybody was against him and the public opinion was against him, that judge was telling the truth. And he said that this act is an act of worship, to pledge allegiance to a flag.